God's face. Turn with me in your Bibles. If you haven't got one, by the way, please go to the bookshelf at the back and grab one of the church Bibles, our bookshelf Bibles. We're reading from Luke chapter 2. And if you're using one of these black Bibles, it's on page 857. We'd love for you to follow along in this reading, because what we seek to do week by week as we speak to you from the front, both Martin, myself, and others who speak and share from this pulpit, is we don't seek to share anything of ourselves, really. We're seeking to share with you the Word of God. And we want you as God's people to be seeking that out, looking and making sure that what it is that we're saying is in conformity with this Word, with this book, the Bible, this precious message of God that God has given to us to direct our paths and show us His ways. Let's read together then from Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. You'll know that we're on a journey through Luke that's going to take us a while. And we're continuing the journey this day from Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Let's read these verses together. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, that is the purification of Mary as the mother of Jesus, having given birth, a woman had to be purified according to the law of Moses, but also the child had to go through this ritual of purification. So that's the they who they're talking about. They brought him up, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. As I said at the beginning of this service, today is Epiphany. Epiphany just means manifestation. We take it to mean the manifestation of the divine. That's one meaning. But people also use the word to speak of an illuminating realization or a discovery that they've made that has completely changed the way they see things. Particularly discoveries that result in awe or elation or wonder. something that's kind of life-changing and, wow, a bit kind of awesome, incredible, an epiphany. And it all goes back to the account that Matthew gives at the beginning of the story that he shares in his gospel about Jesus. And he's not far into that story when he starts to speak of these men who came from the east, bearing gifts, seeking a king, a new king. Of course, this much disturbed Herod, as we read there in Matthew chapter 2. But they came, and following the star, they eventually found the child and his parents. And they presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it says, if you turn to Matthew chapter 2, you see the words for yourself. And they came, they saw his star, and they said to Herod, "We've come to worship him." Wow. Not just acknowledge him, not just recognize him. We have come to worship him. This is some king. This is a king who has not established yet his power. This is a king who has not got authority over their lands. But this king is a king that demands worship before even he's been born, before even he's been heard about. His star is so meaningful. The direction that they've received is so astounding that they know they must come and worship this king. This king is a greater king than other kings. This king is a greater king than Herod, a greater king than even Caesar. This king is a king who is deserving of worship and praise. And so they come. And when they saw the star, it says in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 2, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child, Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And gave him, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. Epiphany. Manifestation of the divine. An illuminating realization or discovery. Theirs was a journey of faith. I wonder if you've caught up on that. I wonder if you realize just how similar it is to your journey. They came a long way. They had to come a great distance to find Jesus. It took them a long time to make that journey by camel and walking across the deserts. And the hills and the valleys and the rivers and everything that they had to cross. We don't know how far they came, but the implication is they came from a long way away. India, perhaps further than that. On the edge of the known world of the time. Drawn by this faith that there was something to see. An expectation that gripped them. A sense of purpose on this journey. A sense that there was going to be something that would make it all worthwhile. That there was going to be something that was unmissable. There was going to be something that was so great, so good. They had to be there. They had to see it. They had to find it, no matter what difficulties had to be surmounted. Think of what they went through. Think of all that they pursued in order to see the child, in order to see Jesus, in order to find him. Now turn back to Luke chapter 2. And to the account of Simeon and Anna. Again, two people who were incredibly expectant. Two people who had presented themselves to God and to God's purposes and were given in return a special understanding of God's ways, God's means. Were given a special insight to know that God was sending a special child. A child that would grow up. A child who would change everything. That his plans and purposes were coming to a point of reference that would alter the history of the world. 2013 years or thereabout later, here we stand, here we sit in Aberdeen, recipients of that message of grace, of the goodness of God, But I wonder about our expectation. Are we expecting to see Jesus, expecting to get a new glimpse of who God is, expecting to be gripped by the purposes of God, expecting to find God in this new year? Are you expecting to see God? Or are you here this morning because you're kind of like, well,